Brigadier Page, Reel 1.
Brigadier Page, I wonder if you could tell us a little about your family and educational background and tell us whether this, in fact, had any effect on your subsequent act in joining the army.
I was born at Baldock in Hertfordshire in January 1898, and I was at school at Halebury in 1914-15, and I was reading science, hoping to go to Cambridge in due course, and in about January 1915 my father said, look, you have to go in the army somehow, why don't you make a profession of it? We'd got no army connection at all, really, but I thought it was a good idea, and I went on to the army class, and I sat for the army exam in about June or July of 1915 and passed into Woolwich and joined at Woolwich in August 1916. My family hoped I'd become a sapper, but I wasn't high enough to become a sapper, and I'm delighted that I didn't become a sapper, and I've had a very, very happy life as a gunner ever since.
Did the Kitchener appeal of late 1914 have any effect in forming your decision?
I don't think really. I think it was a very wise suggestion of my father's and my family in general, because I had no real, at that time, I was only but just over 17, I'd had no real ideas of what I wanted to do, and it seemed a jolly good idea to go into the army properly. And so I went to Woolwich in August 1916, and strange to say, I quite enjoyed myself there. It was a very hard life, but it was quite cheerful. There were a large number of us, most of us about the same age, about 17, 18. There were a few who'd been abroad and returned for the course. It was a time of great square bashing, obviously, because square bashing was the thing in those days. And one was rarely off the square. One had very, very strict inspections on every parade. If your slightest fault with your turnout, you find yourself doing a check parade next morning at 06:30 hours. And one lived in an absolute mad rush of changing out of ordinary uniform into riding breeches, and then come back, and then you change into PT kit. And life was one continual rush. But it wasn't an unhappy one. I do want to stress that. The main subject, of course, we started off practically, as recruits still do, I think, we started on the barrack square for about a month. One practically lived on Squadville. And then, at the same time, riding had started. We had a riding school about three times a week. And then we had Gunville on the square also. We had PT. We had a very good background in gunnery and semi-scientific subjects. I'd perhaps make it clear that when we got to the shop, we were divided into sappers and gunners, and we trained as gunners and they trained as sappers. We didn't get a sort of general training as they did before and after the war. We did map reading and all sorts of odd military subjects such as farriery and veterinary. Of course, nowadays, this would all be considered bull. But in World War I, it was considered, I think, the natural thing to do. There was very sick discipline, but we expected it. And after 6 months, one ended up with a very good basic knowledge of drill on the square, and the confidence to drill a company, or even drill a battalion at times. One knew all about the two types of gun one used, the 18-pounder and the 4.5, and one had a reasonable amount of minor tactics. One had as good a standard of horsemanship as one could achieve. Some people are better horsemen than others, obviously. We had a very good grounding in horse mastership, which was very important in those days, and people don't quite realize what a lot of horses there were in the First War. And we had a very good grounding in man management, as it's now called.
Could you tell us perhaps a little about your instructors, if you can remember what sort of backgrounds they came from?
We had some very fiery sergeant majors on the square who had all been to the war and been wounded and come back. All the officers had been to the war and were wounded and had come back again. So there was a lot of experience among the instructors. They weren't just sitting there being on busquets and things like that. One got the impression that you could go to the officer, they would tell you what was what at the front. And the one thing there was practically no shooting, but of course you can't very well shoot in Woolwich. And in any case, it was understood that when you left Woolwich, you normally went on a gunnery course to Shoebury, or Oakhampton, or Lark Hill. I actually went to Shoebury. And so one learnt it then. Well, then in February 1916, I was only 18 and 2 months, and we were commissioned. In those days, officers could go to the war at 18 and a half. Other ranks couldn't go till 19, which is rather a strange anomaly. But anyway, I had to be found occupation to keep me going from February to July. And I was very lucky because I was sent as a range officer to the ranges at Oakhampton. And there I learned a great deal of practical gunnery and gun handling and all that sort of thing, because one took part both in the battery and one was out on the ranges and so forth. So really, by the time I went to France, the beginning of August, I had quite a good background.
And 1915, of course, was a particularly bad year for supplies of ammunition and some extent ordnance in general. Did this have any marked effect on your training in the early days?
I don't think it did in our early days, because I fortunately was on this school in Oakhampton, so one saw a lot of shooting there. And by the time I got to France, jumping the gun a bit, by the time I got to France in the Somme in 1916, of course, the question of there was lots of ammunition. Undoubtedly, in the earlier months of the year, from 1914 and 1915, there was terrible restrictions on ammunition. In fact, many batteries were only firing about 3 rounds a day in 1915. And it was very bad ammunition too. I've got some thoughts about ammunition, but I don't know whether you'd like me to have it now or later on, because it was really a summary of... would come in better at the end, I think.
Okay, we'll do it later on. I'd like to hear just a little more about the sort of the training once you were at Oakhampton. If that's possible.
Yes.
What sort of day did you have?
There you see, Oakhampton was a practice camp for young officers' courses. So there was firing on the range, well, certainly 5 days, probably 6 days a week. And the officers would actually form the detachments. They would serve in the detachments. Other officers would go to the OP. And, of course, the next day they'd probably change round. And I, as an officer of the depot battery there, was concerned really with everything, with work at the battery and work at the OP, and actually sitting out there in the range OPs, observing the fire, and filling up enormous forms showing how well or badly people had fired.
By 1916, of course, the techniques of artillery cooperation with aircraft were fairly well laid down. Did you get any grounding in this during your training?
I don't think there was any training at all at home in that. In fact, you could really basically say there was no training at all. It just happened to certain batteries on certain fronts, and there was precious little training in it, but I know fairly well what went on. We did have experience of it occasionally. Wasting time, we have got a lot here.
Well, by now you're presumably ready to go to the front. Did you find that your training fitted you in any way for what you eventually encountered on the Western Front?
Well, one knew one's gunnery, and one knew one's OP work, and I think on the whole we were really well, fairly well trained. But of course, until one got to the war and met it oneself, one could never be taught really what it was like, especially when one arrived straight in the middle of the Somme, as I did. See, I was arrived in Havre early in August, and then, as I expected, it was the middle of the Somme battle. I was, as expected, I was posted to the Somme area, and to my great pleasure, I was posted to a regular division, the 3rd Division, which is a very famous division. And I joined that, and I was then posted to 6th Battery in the 40th Brigade. And I joined them in action on about the 15th, 16th of August 1916 near Maricourt, which we were holding the right hand. We were the right division next door to the French on the front of Falfemont-Guillemont. And we spent about a month there. My first real introduction to the war was my first night in action. I was sent to man the night OP, which was a very alarming experience for a very young officer. But on the whole, the batteries lived fairly, at that time, on the front we were on, the batteries lived fairly comfortably, and the infantry took all the shelling. OP work was very unpleasant, and of course, it was a hot August. The corpses were unburied, and the atmosphere of the Somme in general was perfectly frightful. Well, we spent about 4 weeks there, and then we were relieved and went off to the north, where we had a nice rest on the first army front near Loos. And very soon later, we found ourselves marching south again to take part in that awful Battle of the Ancre in November. And that was really, I would still maintain, I couldn't have maintained it at the time, I was too junior an officer, but I would maintain now that it was an extremely unnecessary and bad battle. You see, on the 1st of July, we had attacked Serre, and it had been a most ghastly flop, and I don't know how many thousands of casualties. And that was in high summer. We were asked to do precisely the same thing on the 13th of November, in rain, bog, quite frightful. And naturally, we took a terrible hammering, and I wouldn't know how many thousand casualties the division had. That was really one of the nastiest battles I took part in until the salient of 1917.